Good evening. This is Missionary Benjamin Reimer coming to you from Winkler, Manitoba right now. Hopefully in Liberia shortly again. And a little bit different for me. I don't think I've ever done a message this way. I think usually I've done it, and the few times that I've done it more like a live stream. So this is a little bit different for me, but I trust it'll be a blessing for you. And I trust that the message the Lord has laid on my heart for you will also be an encouragement as well. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. It's been a while since we were there. Unfortunately, we were not able to be there earlier this year when we planned to be there due to Emmeline's health situations and everything like that. But I do think back to when we were there for the missions conference. Oh, that's back in probably 2015 or something like that. And I'm thankful for the time we were able to spend there and be a part of the missions conference. And I'm thankful for you and for Pastor McLean and for his faithfulness and his desire to serve the Lord and to lead this church for him. And so, again, it's good to be a part of the service, even this way virtually. And if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read about five verses here as we look at a story that is familiar, a story that we have probably most all read before, and I don't ever claim to be able to teach something new. Again, there is nothing new under the sun, and so if somebody says they're teaching something new, then I heard somebody say, you ever hear somebody say, I'm teaching something new that nobody's ever heard before, run from it, because it's obviously false doctrine, because if it's true, it's been taught before. But just maybe giving another perspective or looking at something that really has been on my heart lately in my own personal life, something that the Lord's been teaching me, especially through, you know, the different events of Emmeline's health. And just now as I'm recording this message, we just got Emmeline back from the hospital this morning. She was there for 3-4 days again with what we believe is asthma, something that is just making her asthma act up. And so that's what we've been dealing with. And so through this whole time, as we've been dealing with Emmeline's health, we've been dealing with just the Lord working on our hearts and using it. And boy, it's something to be able to thank God for the trials, to be able to thank God for the difficulties, and to know that He's using it in a way to bring Christ out in us. And we have to allow Him to do that, obviously. But this passage has really been on my heart, and especially the truths of it particularly, and I trust it will be to you as well. In our text this evening, I want to draw our attention to someone that valued her relationship with Jesus Christ. Our text is a familiar passage of Scripture found in Luke chapter 10, where we read of the account of Jesus' visit to the home of Martha and Mary. I want to read this passage and then try to bring it to life as we consider the resolve Mary had to her relationship and to her fellowship in particular with Jesus. Beginning in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we ask Him to bless the reading of His word and the message that is to come. Father, we thank You for this time together. Lord, I want to thank You for this church and the church family and their desire to move forward and to serve You and to live for You. And Lord, I just pray that in the little time that I have tonight, that you would use these words that you've laid on my heart to have an effect in someone's life. Lord, to make them, as you seek to do in each one of us, more like Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I am the kind of person that would be considered a people pleaser. I hate saying no. I hate disappointing people. I hate having to, you know, just last week I was supposed to be, I planned on recording this message a week ago, and then I became ill, I became sick, and I had to message Pastor McLean and say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm in bed right now, I'm sick, I'm not feeling well, and I'll get it to you beginning of next week. And then beginning of the next week, which was just a couple days ago, I had Emmeline in the hospital, and I'm sitting there taking care of a sick child, and I'm thinking, I need to get that done. I'm a people pleaser. I'm a person that likes to make people happy and doesn't like to disappoint people. Just a few weeks ago, several of my brothers were planning on going on a little hunting trip, and that's something my family's done for years, deer hunting. And I hadn't done it in 16 years. This was going to be 16 years since I had gone deer hunting. And so I got my tags, I got my rifle sighted in, got everything ready to go. And then some different circumstances came about that, you know, I just felt like it probably wasn't best for me to go. And I struggled with that, not because I didn't want to go, but I knew the brothers that I was going with were excited to be able to go hunting with me again after all this time. And so to message them and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to go, it was hard. And I'm thankful they were gracious and they didn't, you know, lay a guilt trip on me, but that's the kind of person I am. And so I identify in my nature with Mary in this passage of Scripture. When I was in Bible college, we had a lot of opportunities to serve in different ministries, Union Gospel Mission, homeless mission there, within the church, within the college itself, with nursing home ministries, and I was just involved, plugged into each one, and I loved it, and I enjoyed it. That's who I am. That's what I like to do. And yet, as I look at this, I see that many times the Marthas of this world need to learn something from the Marys. And so I believe that over time, and I probably one of my greatest regrets from Bible college was that I didn't develop more of a Mary life. And I really cultivated that Martha life, the service life, but my devotional life, my fellowship life, my life with the Lord really was not exercise the way it should have been and the way I feel now it is becoming. And so I want to take a little time just to try to give us, to insert us into this passage of Scripture as best I can. I'm not a scholar on Middle Eastern culture and tradition, but I'm going to just try to help us to understand a little bit about what's going on here. Just pull out some things here. First of all, Jesus was traveling with his disciples. We see that as earlier on in the passage within the context, he's traveling with his disciples. And as we read this passage, it only mentions him entering this village and entering Martha's house. We don't know whether the disciples were there. It's logical that they would have been. They went with him pretty much everywhere. And so many people, especially commentators, as they're talking about this, they're mentioning how Martha really needed to be busy, because if you're going to prepare food for 13 men who have been walking, that's quite the meal that you're going to be preparing. And so, but we don't know for sure whether the whole disciples were there or not. Again, specifically, if you read in verse 38, it says, as they went, but then it says that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And so we don't really see where the disciples go, whether they stay with Jesus or they don't. But Jesus was the focal point, and really, that's who Martha was concerned about anyway. The house that he entered into belonged to Martha. Now, this is strange, and we see that here it says, into a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Even today, it's most common that, men are the ones that own the houses. And I know that in today in our culture, there's, with all the equality and everything like that, and just how things are in general, with more freedoms and things like that, there's obviously many women that own houses. But in that day, in that culture, that wouldn't have been a common thing. Unless maybe she was a widow, and so this was her husband's house, and then he passed away, and so she continued living in it. And then there's another possibility. I don't know. Again, like I said, I'm not, too read up on all the different Middle Eastern cultures, but I know from my perspective from Liberia, and there's a lot of similarities, I believe, between the Jewish culture of this time as the Liberian culture. And sometimes a woman who is older and unmarried, never got married, whose parents have passed away or are in a different country or different city, will have her own home, often paid for by her parents, and maybe will keep her siblings with her because they're going for, going to school or their opportunities for employment or whatever. And so anyway, we don't know what the circumstances are, but Martha, uncharacteristically of most women of that day, was the owner of this house. Martha had a sister named Mary, who we assume lived in the same house together with her. And when Jesus entered in Martha's house and sat down, it appears that Mary made a beeline straight for his feet and went there and just sat down at his feet. And if you remember in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, I believe it's the book of Acts, he talks about how he was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. And so that implies a submission. It implies the place of a student sitting at the teacher, at the master, at the rabbi's feet. And so Mary put herself in that position and appeared to be content to stay there for a long time. While Mary was sitting and listening to Jesus, Martha was cumbered. Now that word cumbered means over-occupied or too busy with much serving. In other words, she was laying out a spread for Jesus, likely in order to honor the fact that he was paying them a visit. You could say nothing is too good for Jesus, and I'm sure that if you were having a church fellowship and you knew that Jesus was going to be present at your church fellowship physically in the flesh, eating and consuming what you cooked, every woman who's bringing food for that church fellowship would bring their very best. And they wouldn't bring yesterday's leftovers. They would be cooking something fresh and new. And so Martha, knowing that Jesus is here and knowing of his importance and his friendship and relationship to the family, is taking this opportunity seriously. It's at this point that a very frustrated Martha comes to Jesus and accuses him of not caring. What does it say here in verse 40? Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? It reminds me of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee as there's that storm that comes and Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat and they come to him, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, don't you care? Now, obviously, we know that Jesus cares. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Amen. And so he does care. But then she says, tell Mary to come and help me. Now, I find this interesting. I have young children, and they've gotten to this point recently where they try to give me instructions. Tell dad, go and tell this person to do this, or tell them not to do this, or tell them to go there, or tell them, or sometimes they even decide to tell me what kind of punishment they think is appropriate for their sibling for the infraction that's been caused. I don't know how you feel about this, but for me, when one of my children tries to tell me, as the authority, what to do or what they think I should do, it makes me want to do the opposite. And obviously, I know that's probably just my flesh rising up in me, and Jesus is not, really affected in the same way that I am. But wow, for Martha to just be so bold to say, tell her what to do, I don't know, for me that seems disrespectful, but nonetheless. So with that background, let's also add some meat on the bones of just the story here. First of all, I think we can all see the type of personalities that Mary and Martha had. Martha, I think, has that firstborn, type A, get-her-done personality. There's a job to do, and she's going to jump in with both feet to get it done. Mary is more of that carefree middle child. She'll work when she's asked, but might be somewhat oblivious to the work that needs to be done. Anybody else, know somebody, or maybe you are that person, I know I am, that can sometimes just be in the middle of a room and there's lots of work that needs to be done, but you can just kind of be focused on whatever you're doing and not see what needs to be done. I know sometimes my wife gets frustrated with me about that, because I'll be sitting there and just, you know, relaxing, and she sees the dishes that need doing and the floor that needs sweeping and mopping and all this kind of stuff. And to me, it's just, I'm not seeing it, right? And so that's how I see Mary. And she's just, you know, Jesus has come, so let's sit down and let's listen. Let's hear what he has to say. They obviously have lived together for a long while, so they will know this about each other. And this is most certainly not the first time that they've been frustrated with each other over it. If you have those type of personalities together, this is going to be a constant clash. This is going to be a constant thing. And you can know that that's just part of their life. When Jesus arrives unannounced, remember, there's no text messages, there's no phone calls, no emails, no, hey, is it okay if I stop by? Jesus just showed up, right? Martha immediately jumped into action. It appears that she wanted to put out a big spread and kill the fatted calf, at least figuratively, if not literally, in order to make sure that she honored the fact that Jesus had paid them a visit. As is often the case, the Marthas of this world, and maybe I'm going off a little bit here, but often have plans that are too big for themselves, so they require others to bear the weight of their ideas. As Martha's hostessing ideals grow bigger and bigger, so does her frustration at the fact that Mary doesn't seem to have the slightest concern about where the food was going to come from. And so you can see how Martha is this personality. I want to do something big. I want to, you know, I just really want to. And I know people like this, right? But the problem is, if you have big ideas, you have big dreams, and really want to make a big effect, you're going to have to depend on other people to do some of the work. You can't do it all yourself. And so it's a lot of times better just to, reduce your ability. Or if you know you have the manpower to do it, then do it. But Martha's getting frustrated. And you know that it wasn't just Martha just snapped all of a sudden. You know that it had been building. Probably... I'm just going to be honest. You know, as a husband, I've been married for almost 9 years. It's not a lot, but it's not a little either. And you can sense, when you've been married for a little while, you can sense when someone is maybe not in the best of moods, or maybe is irritated at you. And so I'm sure that even as enraptured as Mary is with being with Jesus, I'm sure that she can kind of feel Martha's eyes boring holes in her back, and just knowing that Martha probably wants some help, and Martha's probably going by and trying to catch her eye and trying to get her to look at her and trying to, you know, hey, you know, but Mary's looking the other way. And so maybe she's banging around some pots and pans, making a lot of noise and dropping some hints. Oh, it sure be nice to have some help to do this, or you know how people can do this, right? And all through this, Mary is just focused on Jesus. Just focused on the Savior. And I imagine that the temperature in that room started to drop. It got pretty icy, pretty cold. Before Martha finally said, "Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm working, I'm slaving away in this kitchen to prepare you a decent meal? And my sister, my worthless, useless, good-for-nothing sister is just sitting there on her backside doing nothing? Don't you care? Tell her to help me." Now, Mary, like I said, Mary was likely already aware that Martha wanted her help. yet she remained committed to spending time with her Lord and Savior. And this is what I want to draw out just as we look at this, and I'm going to give you the title for the message here in just a second. I want to focus on the determination and the courage that Mary had to stay dedicated to her fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because Martha wanted to drag her away. Martha wanted to pull her away from Jesus. Now, Martha didn't have bad intentions. She wasn't trying to get her into some kind of dirty life or wicked, engagements or habits. That's not what she was doing. But she was trying to pressure Mary into embracing a life of busyness instead of a life of devotion. The Bible is full of accounts of those who have taken a bold stand in the face of opposition, challenges, and naysayers. Noah took a stand against those who didn't believe that a flood was coming. Joseph took a stand against immorality. Elijah took a stand against Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal. The three Hebrew children took a stand against idolatry. David took a stand against a blasphemous giant, and Daniel took a stand against a law that banned him from praying to his God. Because of the stand that Daniel took and his visit to the den of lions that resulted, a chorus has been written encouraging others to stand alone for Christ. That song is entitled Dare to Be a Daniel, and it goes like this. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Verse 2. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Verse 3. Many giants great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Verse 4. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his hosts defy, and shout for Daniel's band. The chorus goes, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Now, you may know the melody to it, but in light of the stand that Mary took for her personal relationship with Christ, I have entitled the message tonight, Dare to Be a Mary. And I've also written a stanza and a chorus to go along with it. So I'm going to give you my rendition of that. I hope it'll be enjoyable for you. Maybe it'll help you put it in context. But it goes like this. Many Christians love to serve, rushing here and there. They've no time to read His Word or talk to Him in prayer. Dare to be a Mary. Dare to sit with Christ. Dare to take some time alone. Dare to do what's right. And so it's a fun little song, a fun little twist on the original song. But I think it has some powerful truth. And I think we need to realize the importance of standing for our fellowship, our devotion, our relationship with Christ. So in the time that we have left tonight, I want to draw 3 points from our text that I see here. Number one, dare to stand against much serving. Again, as I mentioned earlier in the introduction, that's a problem for me. That's my Achilles heel. I struggle with getting a sense of worth based on my level of service. And so that's something that's I need to watch out for. One of the things that has hindered me from being a Mary. And so it's not that Martha shouldn't have been serving. It was needful that preparations were made. Although from our understanding of Jesus and his priorities, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He wasn't too concerned about food and those kinds of things. He probably would have been happy just to teach and not to have been fed. But even if he desired feeding, I'm sure something simple would have sufficed. Certainly, he would have loved it if Martha had also had some time to be able to sit at his feet. I believe he was grieved. I believe as he was sitting there and he was with Mary at his feet and seeing Martha buzzing back and forth, rushing around. I'm sure he said he would have thought to himself, boy, it would be nice if Martha could just sit down here and hear what I have to say. But Martha wasn't concerned about that. You know, there's a quotation that I have in the back of my Bible that I had in Bible college. It's in Liberia right now. It was something by Pastor Sullivan said when I was in Bible college in one of the chapel messages, and it stuck with me. I don't need to have it written down anymore because it's just kind of ingrained in my mind. I haven't practiced it like I should, but he said this: if you are too busy to spend quality time with God, then you are too busy. And that just rung in my ears, and it rings in my ears day after day after day. And it's just so important that we get quality time with God. It's just so important that we work on that relationship. And if you're married, as you're listening to this, or maybe you've been married, or you are dating and you're preparing to get married, wow, you know this to be true. How important that time together is. How important just being able to talk about things and to work through things and to just build that relationship. But you don't do that without quality time together. And how much more important, isn't it, that we have that time with our Lord? If you know that you have a Martha personality and propensity, make sure that you constantly assess your walk with God and be willing to scale back your activities if that is what is needed in order to allow you to draw nearer to the Lord. Now, let me say this as well to kind of qualify that. One thing that makes me nervous in saying that is that somebody who is a Martha is going to just go and say, okay, Pastor, well, I'm done helping in the nursery. I'm done singing in the choir. I'm done this. I'm done this. I'm done this. And you just sit back on the back pew, show up in church and say, well, I just don't want to be too busy. The reality is, most of us are not too busy to spend quality time with the Lord. Most of the time, we just have the wrong priorities. And so, maybe it is you're too busy. Maybe your priorities are right, but you are too busy. Well, then in that case, then maybe you do need to scale something back. Let somebody else carry some of the weight. But, my friend, don't say, okay, well, I'm done serving. Because a lot of times, if you stop serving, you're not gonna invest that quality time either. So just take that with a grain of salt, all right? And as a side note, let me also say this. If you are a Mary and a Martha near you is struggling, be willing to help them in scaling back their activities and also maybe help to pick up some of the load. If we all sit at Jesus' feet all the time, the serving will never get done. And there is a need for service, right? We can't all sit at Jesus' feet all the time. But don't be oblivious to the needs that are there. A lot of times in churches and things like that, there's a handful of people who do most of the service, not because they aren't willing to let other people do it, but because other people aren't willing to do it. They're not willing to say, okay, you know, I'll help out. It's the same people always saying, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll help out. So dare to stand against much serving. That's what I see here. It says in verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving. It's not the serving that's the problem. It's that it's more than what is reasonable for her, and it was so much that it took her away from being with Jesus. Number two, dare to stand against anxiousness. It says in verse 41, Jesus, in his response to Martha, says, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, that word careful means to be full of care. It comes from a similar idea as anxiousness, anxiety. And so Jesus is saying, Martha, you're allowing yourself to be anxious over many things. Everything is a big thing for you. And he doesn't say that as a compliment. Notice if you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be careful, is the exact same Greek word, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Basically, the cure for anxiety is this fellowship, prayer, this fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ, sitting at His feet. And I can tell you that this whole situation we've been dealing with Emmeline has been one that has brought me to anxiety, to being anxious. And I have not lived this out the way the Bible says all the time. But you know what? As I have spent more time at Jesus' feet, as I've spent more time in my fellowship with the Lord, I felt that anxiety go away. I told my wife, just on Monday, we took Emmeline into the hospital because she was struggling to breathe again. And I texted her and I said, "This is the most peace I've ever had taking her to the hospital." Even as we were, as I was driving to the hospital, and I feel crazy even just saying it, but I was thanking God for entrusting these trials to us. That's not something I would have done even just a couple months ago. But God has made Himself so real in my life. That fellowship, that I trust Him. And the anxiety is just melting away. Now, tomorrow there's going to be another opportunity to be anxious, I'm sure. And I'm going to have to meet that biblically. But Jesus identifies that a root of Martha's problem is that she is anxious and disturbed about a lot of things. Many times the noise of service is used to drown out the things that are bothering us. If we can just keep busy enough, we don't have time to think about all the things that are causing us this anxiety, this care, this worry in your life. Mary was at complete peace while sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, you may call it ignorance is bliss. I don't know. But Mary was just at complete peace. She wasn't worried about anything. She wasn't anxious about anything. She was just relaxed. And my friend, if you deal with these things, struggle with anxiety, just worry, constant worries. Oh, let me encourage you to get at the feet of Jesus and just sit there and just talk to Him. And you don't even have to talk to Him about what you're specifically worried about. You can and you should, but not just about that. Just and let His Word dwell in you richly, as the Bible says. Number three, dare to stand for fellowship. Jesus said that one thing is needful. He said that in verse 42. But one thing is needful. No, He's not saying that there is nothing else important in the world, but that there is one thing that is of greater importance than the cares of this life. Remember, it was Him that said, don't be worried about those who can destroy your body, but worry about Him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Don't allow the things of this world, and I want to be very careful how this comes across. I love Emmeline, and we've spent so much time together in the hospital. She's become so very precious. We just have a special relationship. But you know what? Even if God were to choose to take her life, or choose to allow her life on this earth to end, she's going to be in heaven. He's in control. And my heart would be broken. And I'm just thinking about how on Tuesday, my wife just texted me saying how it choked her up when she'd walk into the dining room and see Emmeline's chair there just empty. And it's empty there, knowing that it's going to be filled again. Emmeline was doing better. She was going to be on her way home soon. But just seeing that empty chair. And then I thought about right away, just thought about how, you know, many people have had to see that chair empty, knowing it was never going to be filled again by that person. And it's hard, right? But my friend, Jesus whatever we have on this life, in this earth, it's just physical. Be concerned about that which is eternal, that which has eternal value. One thing is needful, okay? And it's not that quarter pounder with cheese meal or whatever food is on your mind. Jesus said that Mary had chosen the good part. One thing to recognize is that it is a choice. I'm going to say this twice probably because it's important that I make this clear. You are as close to God as you want to be. Remember the verse, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you? The Bible says if you bring yourself closer to God, He will bring Himself closer to you. So you are as close to God today, right now, as you want to be. You say, no, I wish I was closer. No, if you wished you were closer, then you would do what it takes to get closer. You would draw yourself closer to Him. Martha probably would have said, I have no choice but to be busy in preparation. But Mary shows us that there was a choice. Drop your pots and pans and sit down at Jesus' feet. And I know this is in a cooking setting, so that's what we're talking about. But whatever it is, drop your overtime, drop whatever it is, drop your YouTube binge watching or your sports binge watching or your news binge watching. Help us if we're busy watching news today. That'll make you anxious. Drop it. Drop the pots and pans and say, Lord, I'm here. Just going to sit at your feet here. Talk to me. Teach me. Tell me what I need to know. The word good used here also has been translated benefit. In other words, Jesus commended Mary for choosing the beneficial part. Mary would receive benefit from it. You know, and it was eternal benefit, right? Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now you take some food and you do benefit from it, but it's temporal, right? After a few hours, the energy you got from that food, it's gone. You need to eat again, right? Mary chose that which was going to be beneficial forever. Jesus said that the benefits that Mary received from sitting at His feet, learning, growing, and fellowshipping with Him, were eternal. They would not and could not be taken away. So much of our life is consumed with that which bears no fruit, nor holds eternal consequence. But you can rest assured that time spent with Christ always bears fruit and has eternal value. I'm going to let Pastor McLean close the service however he wants to do, whether invitation or whatever. I'm just going to give a little challenge, a little bit of a, just kind of draw it all together, and then I'll turn it over and I'll close in prayer, and then you can do what you want there. But how can we apply this tonight? Let's start by analyzing our own walk with God and consider whether it is in need of some TLC. If you are where you need to be in that area, praise God. If you've been sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary and you're just saying, you know, hey, preacher, amen, I'm doing that, awesome. Praise the Lord. Continue on in that direction. But if something isn't right, time, consistency, vibrancy, intimacy, don't ignore the warning signs. What is it that is fighting for the place of the beneficial part in your life? What is it? What is it that if you were to stop doing that, you would be able to sit at Jesus' feet more? We all have them. Time wasters. What is it? And just think, and I often ask myself this. This is something I have used to personally analyze myself. This, what I'm doing right now, when I stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer for my life and how I lived it, the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, what I built in my life, when I stand before Him, am I going to say, I wish I had done more of that? Or am I going to say, boy, I wish I hadn't done so much of that. I wish I hadn't wasted so much time endlessly watching YouTube videos. I wish I didn't spend so much time on this video game. I wish I didn't spend so much time engrossed in the media or the news or COVID or whatever else. You know, I wish that instead of getting all wrapped up in all this other stuff, I wish I had just spent a little bit more time at Jesus' feet. Friends, thank you for your attention tonight. Thank you for allowing me to just share what the Lord's laid on my heart. And I just want to encourage you to dare to be a Mary. To take a stand and say, my fellowship with Jesus Christ is worth fighting for, and I'm not going to sacrifice it for anything. I am going to make sure that Jesus and my relationship with Him comes first. Let's bow in prayer tonight. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the examples that we've been shown. And Lord, I pray that each one of us tonight would choose that good, that beneficial part, Lord, that can never be taken away. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. What a tremendous challenge tonight. If you felt a little bit uncomfortable, that's probably a good thing. And need to do business with God. And one of the things He said there, you're as close to the Lord as you want to be. And that's true. And He's right. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I want to read you an email that just came during the service tonight. It says, Pastor McLean, thank you for praying. I don't have time to go into much detail because we are exhausted and need some sleep. But I thought it was only right and fair to update the many people who prayed for our trip this weekend. We are safely in Liberia, and so is all of our luggage. The trip wasn't without some excitement, but we truly praise God for His grace and His guidance through it all. How can you not have excitement when traveling internationally during COVID with 6 kids, 8 years of age and younger? If you have prayed, thank you. If others have prayed, thank them on our behalf. We are looking forward to getting back into the swing of things here this coming week and are excited to see what God has in store for us by His grace and for His glory, Ben Reimer. So, isn't that great? Praise the Lord. That's what we prayed for this morning, and I know many have prayed that as well. And so praise the Lord for what He's doing there. Let's pray, and we will be dismissed. Father, we thank You for this challenge. We've heard from Your Word, and Lord, there is convicting things that we often will be involved in that detract from our walk with You. And Lord, I thank You for just revealing some of those things in my own heart. And I believe that You're working in the heart of those who are watching and those who are here tonight listening. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to do business with You and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And Lord, that we would understand if we desire to be closer to You, then it is a choice that we make to do so. And we are as close to You as we want to be. And may we remember that truth tonight. Thank You for those who have come out. Thank You for those who are listening. I pray that You keep us safe and bless us as we go our separate ways now. In Jesus' name, amen.